wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devi happy hour now. I trust them with everything. Every compliment's giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm making you a champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though, so you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening. This is episode 49 of the Devi Happy Hour. It's episode 12 for us. My name is Skip Newton, coming to you from the basement studios in Eagan, Minnesota. And our topic today is a fun one, continuing our series on the freshman class of 2020. We're going to go over the top 10 wide receivers because society just likes being divisible by 5 or 10, so we got to go with that, even though there's three of us, so somebody gets an extra guy. I know you're all going to just be excited to find out who that is. But let's get to my co-hosts, because it's been a long time, a couple of weeks at least. Mr. Brian Shakosius from Boston, Mass., otherwise known as Shaq, Master Yoda, and now the self-proclaimed college football slut. Everybody loves Brian. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you bringing that up. That was my little analogy I used to describe myself because we were talking about, who you align to. I know that you are very faithful, Skip, for instance. You are faithfully married, not only to your wife, but in college football terms, you are faithfully married to the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Roll the boat.
If
yes, I am
not mistaken, sir. And so for me, it's just, you know, we were talking, I'm where the action is, man. So yeah, I get around, man, and I'm not going to apologize for it. So that's me.
Nor should you, man. I love it. And I think people do take advantage of that with me. You know, if I'm in a league with Kane Fossil, of course, Devi Kane, you know, also a huge Gopher fan, he will take Gophers early each and every time. In fact, I'm in a draft with them today, C2C startup, and of course he's got the fourth pick. I was like, well, Rashad Bateman's not getting to me. I know that. There's another guy that likes to snipe Gophers from me, and Rashad Bateman, and he is our other co-host from North Carolina, Matt Jackson. We call him Obi-Wan. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing good, guys, man. Fresh off vacation. Just spent the entire week laying on the beach. No distractions from work. Got to binge watch some football film and scout some of these prospects and some other guys. So feeling real good. First day back at work. Work went well, so ready to talk some football with you guys, talk some of these prospects, man. I'm feeling good tonight.
So, I swear to God, Matt, you got like vacation all over you, man. You got like this glow. I can see it, man. Like you have this new energy. There's like a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Man, it is amazing. It is amazing what laying on a beach for a week without the distractions of 65 hours a week will do to a man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, your work schedule is brutal, but you do have to paint a little bit of a picture for me. I did see the vintage, you know, I'm on the beach and I've got the picture of the beach with my feet, you know, in the foreground, of course, that everybody posts when they go to the beach on vacation. But paint the picture of you're doing a lot of film work while you're on vacation. Are you literally out there on the beach with your cell phone watching film of these guys and taking notes? You can lie and say yes.
You see what happens is, you know, my wife is one that she loves to lay on the beach, right? She's there all day from as soon as the sun comes up until well after lunch, we're lying on the beach. And none of my family that I went with are much for getting into the water. So we all just kind of laid on the beach. And eventually that gets a little boring for me. I'm young. I get distracted pretty easily. So I was sitting there on my phone, answering questions on Twitter, watching as much game film as I could get my hands on. So it was a real good time. I enjoyed that real thoroughly.
Well, so did everybody that follows you on Twitter, because you were active as all get out, posting top tens, posting highlight of people, this and that, you know, guys that you like. That was awesome. Some really good discussion going on there. Before we get into our topic, of course, we have to cover a few news things that have broken in the last couple of weeks. The SEC just recently announced that they are going to play a 10-game conference-only schedule starting on September 26th. So no surprise here. We've already had announcements from other Power 5 conferences. I'm a little surprised that the last two haven't, but maybe they're still trying to just finalize the logistics of it. But I think that's coming because, of course, when one conference starts to do it, that eliminates games from other conferences, and it's just a domino effect. But, you know, you guys have any thoughts on that, Matt? You know, on the SEC following suit, or is this pretty much chalk at this point?
It seems pretty standard that everybody was going to the conference-only schedule. The one thing about this that I am excited about is this may give us some remnants of possibly a football season in the fall this year. The more and more we look at it, it looks like guys are, whether it be going towards the bubble like the NBA is doing or what have you, we look like we might have a football season in the fall, which is exciting for all of us, I know, that are looking for stuff to talk about nowadays. We're really hoping we have football this fall, and it's looking like it is at least potentially a possibility, so I'm excited about that.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I made the decision the other day to be pretty positive about that, and obviously you're hoping that things work out from a health standpoint, because that's you know, point and concern number one. But it feels like there, at least some of these leagues are making some pretty good decisions and things are going well so far. There's been a couple of hiccups for Major League Baseball, but you know, the NHL just started up and they're having, you know, no reports of players, so whatever they're doing right. The NBA, of course, in the bubble, that's, you know, so far going well as far as what I've heard. We've had, you know, a few NFL players. Of course, the numbers are so much greater for football, but I guess there is definite room for cautious optimism, and I'm a pretty optimistic person by nature, so I'm going to just decide, you know what, I think it's going to work out. I think there's going to be some hiccups. We're going to make the best of it. But Shaq, you may have another opinion to that. You may be a little more realistic than me. What do you think?
I'm psyched for you guys. I'm psyched that you guys are wicked optimistic here, because you know, I must be great. I must feel fantastic, man. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, stop pissing on your leg, man. I'm just going to be like, dude, I'm going to let you have this moment. And yeah, I just have a hard time.
Shaq ever
jumping on that train. I'd love to be on it, man. I'd love to get a ticket, but I just don't. I'm not sure I see it. I'm not sure I see 19 and 20 year old guys saying, no, I'm not going to go to that party.
Okay. I may not be considering that.
I have to go to practice in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time seeing guys not going out. You know, they're free from their parents. They're not going to go out drinking. They're not going to go out partying. They're not going to go out hooking up with girls. Like, all right.
I
have a hard time picturing that all working, man. We say there's some things that are working, but they're only working in a bubble. Like, it only works when they're in a bubble.
True.
And there's no way to do it with football, so I'm worried about it, man.
So that does beg a question for me, right? Is, Shaq, when you were a little kid and your teachers or whatever have you were always like, okay, is this glass half full or is it half empty? Were you always the half empty guy? Ever the realist.
Not necessarily, right? Like, not necessarily, but yeah, I could see where you would think that here, but you know, I try to be an optimistic where I can. I really do. And at times I've been accused of being too optimistic, but with this, I have major concerns. I do. I have major concerns. So yeah, I'm kidding around. I'm joking around and all of that, but yeah, I do. I have a hard time understanding how, you know, like I said it the other day on Twitter, like I look at like high school football and I'm like, all these states are still planning to play high school football. Like, they're not testing everybody. Like 78% of NFL teams had guys test positive for COVID, right? Now, presumably none of them thought they had COVID. So if 78% of guys testing positive for COVID, you know, 78% of teams have it in the NFL, what are the chances in high school that you're going to have it, and now you're going to go have them smash into each other and infect each other with it? I just don't see how that's going to end well, but
yeah,
these states that are planning to do it. Look, I love football, bro. Like, I love football more than anybody I know. It's my favorite thing. And frankly, real talk, to be honest, I kind of have, like, been, like, in this little, like, a little bit of a cloud at times this summer, because I'm like, dude, it ain't going to happen. Like, we're going to have a year without at least college football. Like,
I'm with you. I told Skip the same thing a few weeks ago. I told him, Skip, I don't know if this is going to happen, man. I don't see it.
Like, so I have these little like periods where I feel like damn near depressed about it, to be honest with you.
Oh,
just being real. But at the same time, like, there are bigger things to worry about. And, you know, hey, we're still going to you know, work to come out of this on the other side. We got to rally together and hopefully, hey, I'll be stoked to be wrong. Like, I'll be stoked if they find a way to pull this off. But yeah, it's worrisome.
Yeah, we had nights all the time in college where, you know, we stayed inside and didn't go out and party and all that, like you were talking about earlier. We called them Tuesdays.
I don't know, Skip. I felt like you were quite the rager back in your day. I don't know about that.
Well, you know, there was a reason why I was there for 5 full years to get my 4-year degree. But moving on, it's, you know, another year of student ticket prices. That's what it was. And then, of course, my wife went to dental school there, so that was 4 more years of student ticket prices. That was the best ever.
So now we're just chasing rabbit holes.
All right, another.
I love how this is the true football fan right there. Offsets 4 more years of tuition by just saying, "Hey, 4 more years of student ticket prices."
That's right. You gotta look. You gotta really look for that silver lining because it.
That's
I think,
fine. Then,
I'm
it,
also
man.
A numbers and financial guy, and I don't think that worked out in our favor. But in other conference news, the Pac-12 has finalized its schedule for the fall. So that was public. Of course, they had already said that they were doing conference only, so nothing really to talk about there, but that just was put out there. And Florida State dismissed running back Kalen LeBorn, I believe a former, was he a 5-star? Do you remember, Shaq?
Yeah.
He's a highly rated running back. Jashawn Corbin, a transfer from Texas A&M, becomes the likely main running back to replace him. He's a former 4-star who has shown some promise, but he's never really gotten the opportunity because he's been behind a couple of really good running backs at Texas A&M. So what do you guys think on that one, Shaq?
Corbin, you got to remember, Corbin started the year last year for Texas A&M. He started week 1. So he emerged from camp as the starter. And then he went down with the injury, and he ends up out for the year. And then Isaiah Spiller, true freshman, comes in, takes over, right? And it's easy to forget that Corbin was the starter for week 1 going into that year. So he comes over, you know, new coach, new recruit. You're my guy. Come on in. Let's go. Let's roll. I think Corbin's a great guy to have in your sights to try and pick up if you haven't yet. I was able to pick him up in one of the drafts this summer. Felt great about it.
I agree completely with that. Yeah, I mean, he's never really he didn't have the opportunity. He had it early on last year because he beat out Spiller in camp. But I mean, now you're looking at it, and that running back room is wide open. I mean, there's no one there to really compete with him all that much, except maybe the offensive line. I don't know if he's gonna have that. I mean, that offensive line ain't going anywhere, right? I mean, it's still the same one Cam Akers was running behind last year. So, good luck to that young man is all I can say, I guess.
Yeah. So hypothetically speaking, if you were in a campus to Canton startup draft and you went 0 RB early because you went heavy with the value of awesome stud wide receivers and other said positions, this might be a guy that you take a chance on later in said draft.
It can potentially be in said unknown draft, yes.
Interesting. Speaking of campus to Canton, we are in a international league with that fans transition. And other Devi podcasts. And it's kind of funny how this worked out because the three of us, you know, making our decisions jointly, which, you know, the biggest issue there is not coming to agreement on a player. It's just literally the communications of, are we all by our phone and able to interact together at the same time? This is the only league I'm in where I'm sharing it with another person. So having you two guys, it's been awesome. Not by design, but just sort of the way it worked out on the NFL side. We did that draft first. We were pretty wide receiver heavy. Started with tight end as well and Kelsey, and then kind of went from there. Still think we recovered nicely with some good shots at some running backs. But then on the Canton side, when we started off, we had the 105 and ended up making a deal. So the 105 and the 1008 for the 212 and the 301. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this trade now that all the players are in position. We can look back and say, okay, who actually got drafted? Because that makes it a little more interesting. Of course, the 105 was ETN, great running back stud, and that was the guy we were definitely leaning towards taking. The 1008 was Brant Kuth, tight end from Utah. I know we talked about him, I think, in one of our episodes before we were going about vacated targets. And then, of course, we grabbed the 212, Devonta Smith, and the 301, DJ Uiagalelei. And looking at those names now, you know, Matt, would you do it again, knowing exactly how it played out?
For me, knowing now that we had those names in place, I don't mind the way that it turned out, to be quite honest with you. I mean, when you look at the guys we got, Devonta Smith, for me, at times, when you're sitting there watching Alabama last year, most of the time, you could argue that Smith was the best wide receiver on Alabama's roster last year, more often than he was not. So to pair him with the future of Clemson football quarterback DJ Uiagalelei, I mean, that I had this conversation with somebody on Twitter the other day where there's a real chance that DJ could end up getting significant playing time this year if Trevor Lawrence decides to sit out and forego a season because of COVID. So when you look at all those factors, I mean, Smith, we know he's a baller. And from what we've seen of DJ in high school, he's got a strong arm. He's accurate on all levels of the field. I like the guys that we got. And for giving up essentially ETN and a later round tight end, I'm okay with that deal.
Jack, what do you think looking at those names now?
Yeah, it's funny, man. We saw that first and second round not play out the way that we thought it was going to. And in some respects, like a lot of the second round names that we thought we might have a chance to choose from, ended up jumping into the first round, and we just end up missing out on some of the names that started sliding. But at the end of the day, even though I think we felt like we, I don't know about you guys, I felt a little bit disappointed in the moment when some of those names just went off the board right in front of us. I agree with Matt. I feel good about it. I'm cool with it, man. And because to get one of those top quarterback NFL prospects that you know is in such a great program, is going to be a guy who has a trajectory to go to the NFL, to when he, as soon as he hits the field, he's going to have a chance to do really well, to be the next guy behind Trevor Lawrence. I'm happy with it, man. And Devonta Smith, I think, you know, despite any concerns about his weight, which you'd love to see him, you know, like we always say, eat a few cheeseburgers and gain a few pounds. All things considered, people still believe he's going to be a first round draft pick. So I feel really good about the results at the end. So yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there. Looking back on it after a couple of days, really started to feel a lot better with it. And I will say, I remember when we made those two picks, those might have been two of the fastest picks we've made in this entire process. I mean, we knew for sure. If it got to us, those were the two guys, if they were there, we were going to take, and it was just boom, boom. And we've made a couple other picks recently of the same nature where we had it, hey, if this guy falls to us, we're jumping on him, and we just went ahead with it. So, Matt, go ahead.
And then if you look at it, that DJ pick was probably the one that created the most stir in our chat out of all the picks that we made. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that always feels good. You always want other people to get upset when you make a pick, so... All right, let's get into the top 10 wide receivers again this year coming in. We did this with the running backs, and I'll do the same thing. We're going to talk about the hit rate from a few years ago. We'll start as far back as 2015. We're going to go back from there. I went ahead and looked at the top 20 just to throw out some names of guys that are in the NFL that were ranked in the top 20 list. You've got, from 2015, Calvin Ridley, Preston Williams, an impressive guy who got hurt last year, Christian Kirk, Van Jefferson, Darius Slayton, and KJ Hill. So this is pretty early in the process. I mean, obviously, Calvin Ridley is probably the highest rated guy of those names, but you know, they all have varying degrees of potential, but a decent list, I think, you know, still yet to be seen. But that one was interesting. 2014, Alan Lazard, Trey Quinn, an interesting name, Mark Andrews, was listed as the 18th best wide receiver. Of course, he's now one of the best tight ends. And Paris Campbell, rookie season last year, kind of got bounced because of injury, but he's expected to do better things this year. 2013, Robert Foster, Laquon Treadwell, not a good pick for my purple, and Demarcus Robinson. 2012, Stephon Diggs, a much better pick for my purple. Amari Cooper, Sterling Shepard. In 2011, you had Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Dante Moncrief, OBJ, and Kelvin Benjamin. So you look at the numbers there, it's as low as 3 out of 20, or you know, sometimes you get 5 or 6 names, but again, the hit rates are tough, so you know, you keep that in mind when you're doing these drafts. Matt, what do you think about the list of guys there? Anything surprising?
It's surprising to me that's about the last time that I've heard Dante Moncrief's name mentioned on a top 20 list. That's about the last time he's been known to have thought that he was going to do something. So that was interesting. For me, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing that we talked about last week, right? You got to really pay attention to how far out you start picking some of these guys. Because, I mean, we're looking at the same, if not a worse hit rate than you are for the running backs. So, I mean, really be careful about how far out you're grabbing these guys and what your projection is, because they're not all going to hit. Just like we talked about, the running backs aren't all going to hit, and you're looking for certain traits to make them special. You're looking for the same things as these wide receivers, because they're not all going to be superstars, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Shaq, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with the same thing, because just like we know that running backs can come into the NFL right away and contribute on day one. Like, if you're a running back, you're going to find a hole. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to find space and you're going to charge through it. And it's not that simple, but in some ways it kind of is at the same time. The learning curve at wide receiver in the NFL can take some time. We're all used to that. We're all familiar with that. It's no different at the college level. The jump from playing receiver in high school to playing receiver in college can be dramatic, huge, significant, and a major challenge for these guys. So, sure, the idea of it being a little bit less even reliable of a hit rate than the running backs, I think, is to be expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this has been talked about in a lot of different podcasts and analysts out there, you know, talking about NFL rookies maybe having a less of an impact this year because they haven't had as much of the, you know, the practice time in the offseason because of COVID. I think, you know, you'll see the same thing for college freshmen in that they're just not getting, you know, those as much spring practices and other stuff to get ready. And for wide receivers especially, they have to form that timing and that bond with the quarterback. And if they're not able to do that, you know, it's gonna cause maybe a slightly slower development than what would be normal. So keep that in mind for sure. All right, let's get into our top 247 rankings. The number one guy on the board is yours, Shaq, Julian Fleming from Ohio State, the Ohio State University. And we're going to talk about that college a lot today, but tell us about Julian.
Yeah, and you do mention at the top there, Skip, that we are doing the top 247 rankings. That is what we roll on, and that is a little bit different. So we are leaving out the guys who are not in the top 10 on the top 24/7 rankings. So yeah, there's Jordan Johnson, who we're not going to talk about necessarily. Rakim Jarrett is number four, you know, in the composite, but not on the, he's number 12 in the top 24/7. EJ is not in on either of them. There's one more. Yeah, Roseme, right? Marcus Roseme from Georgia. So there are three guys that fall out of the top 10 when we go over to our top 24/7 ranks, and three guys who jump in. But one guy who is number one on both lists is Julian Fleming, for damn good reason. So Julian Fleming is really that consensus top dude at wide receiver, 6'2", 200, coming out of Pennsylvania at the opening. These were all verified results. He ran a 4.45, and at that size, that's mighty impressive, right? 4.45 and a 40. He's got a 40-inch vert, a 23-foot long jump. Their comp to him was Julio. That's kind of a mic drop right there. All right. I mean, this kid is looking like a superstar. You watch him on film and you see it all. He had 78 grabs as a senior, 1,524 yards and 22 touchdowns. And that is in an offense. He's in this wing T offense that is like this relic leftover from, like, it was kind of cool and hip in like 1995 to go back to the wing T offense, and they're still running it at his school, man. It's weird, but it's not exactly like a super pass friendly offense in a lot of cases. But he is. We talk about the phrase "man amongst boys," like we said with Bijan in the last episode, Bijan Robinson. He's just a man, right? Julian Fleming is a man out there. He is a complete package. He is ready to play from day one. He can do it all. He can go up and get it. He is smooth, polished. His blocking is outstanding. So you love seeing a guy who plays, you know, furiously without the ball. Like, he loves playing without the ball. And that is the sign of a true football player, a guy who can develop into a true leader, Yeah, so Julian Fleming is going to be that guy, man. You know, my favorite guy as a fantasy prospect is going to remain Demas. That's my guy. I don't think he's as freakish as an athlete as Demas, but he comes in so smooth that he's just going to be an amazing shiny new toy for the coaches at Ohio State to work with, and they're going to have a lot of fun working with him.
Yeah, Shaq, man, you hit on everything. I mean, Julian Fleming is he's a stud already. I mean, this kid can flat out ball. I like everything that I saw on tape that he does. He's a fast guy. He's uber physical with and without the ball. Has great soft hands, can go up and grab the contested catches. I mean, he's just about as complete as receiver as you can find coming out of high school. I think probably one of my favorite things that you talked about was just how physical he is in the blocking game, right? We talked about how blocking won't get you fantasy points, but it'll keep you on the field to score fantasy points. And there were several times where I saw guys either coming to block him or coming to tackle him, and they're the ones that ended up on the ground, not him. I mean, he's just so, so physical in everything that he does. And, I mean, he's somebody that I like a whole lot. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this kid's a baller. He can play, and I'm excited to see what he can do in that offense.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really nice that they put, you know, some of the highlights in there of him, you know, blocking and doing other things, because that really shows a lot, I think, about the quality and the attitude of the player. You get a guy that's going to put effort into every play to make the play happen, even when it's not focused on him, which I'm sure a lot of the offense was. That to me says a lot. You know, he's not out there dogging and he's not taking plays. You could tell he was looking for somebody to hit and to get the extra yards for his teammate. So yeah, I'm not going to add more to a guy that we all love. I mean, Fleming is awesome. There's a reason why he's number one, and we're going to just leave it at that. We're going to skip to number three just so we don't have Matt do two in a row here, because he has to have the fourth guy on the list. There was no negotiation there. It was a dictatorship of which guy he was getting at four. So number three is Kayshon, is it Boutte? You think?
I believe Kayshon it's Boutte.
I got Boutte. You could go Booty if you want, but I'm going to go Boutte.
I believe it's Boutte, but you can roll out Booty if you want to.
I would have thought the college football slot would prefer Booty, but, you know, to each his own. He's going to LSU, hey. Matt. Talk about Boutte.
It's quality.
So, yeah, so Kayshon Boutte, he's 6 foot, 180 out of Louisiana, so he's staying at home. He was productive all throughout high school. He's finished his senior year with 1,005 yards, 15 touchdowns. And he even secured 800 yards on the ground as a rusher. So he was a dual threat. He was used in the air and he was used on the ground. There's a lot to like about Kayshon Boutte. I mean, he's got, when you look at his game film, he has legit long speed. I mean, he can blaze cornerbacks out in the open field. He's got that legit long speed that you'd like to see to be able to be a big play threat. He's explosive off the line. And one of the things I like best about him, I think, when I was scouting his film, was how well he tracked the ball when it was in the air. You know, one of the things you like to see when you're looking at your wide receivers is how well can they adjust their body and track the ball when it's in the air to make those tough contested catches. And that was something that I really liked the way he did. He's not much of an aggressive catch guy from what I saw, but he can go up and get the ball when he needs to. His route tree looks somewhat limited, but when I did watch him in and out of breaks, he looked clean, right? He looked like he was able to get in and out of his breaks pretty well. So while he can stand to develop some in his route tree, he looked good coming in and out of his breaks. He's not a complete wide receiver yet, but when you look at it, I mean, this kid is an athlete, and you could tell that by turning on his film. I mean, this kid was one of the most athletic kids on the field during his high school, and I don't see that changing. One of the things that I really like about him, though, is the opportunity, right, that he has on day one stepping into LSU's offense. LSU lost over 2,500 yards and 23 touchdowns between Justin Jefferson, your guy Skip, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Thaddeus Moss. So there's lots of production to go around. Now, this LSU offense isn't going to be as productive as they were last year. We all know that, right? Joe Burrow's gone. They're not. It's impossible for this team to keep up that kind of offense. I mean, for any team, you're not going to keep up that kind of offense. But there's still a lot of lost production to go. Coverages are going to start rolling like they have all last year. They're going to start paying attention to the other two wideouts that are on the side, you know? So I like Kayshon Boutte to come in and make an impact almost day one and to be someone that could see his stock rise after this year. But what do you guys think?
I thought Boutte was super, super impressive on film. His hip fluidity is one of the things that jumps out to me. There's an end zone look at one of his kick return touchdowns where his hips are just swiveling and just dropping dudes like flies, man. They can't keep up. They can't tell where he's going. He's reacting in ways. His body works, man, in ways that just leave dudes, you know, smoked. It's crazy good how athletic he is. He makes everything look effortless. I'm really impressed with this kid. I think he's very well put together as a prospect. I think he's going to have a chance to come in right away. Even with, there's always plenty of guys who are going to be on that depth chart, ready to fill in. You know, they got Jamar Chase back. They got Terrace Marshall back. Eric Gilbert's going to come in. We know that. Who's going to be that third wide receiver? I don't know if Racy McMath is that dude. I mean, he's super freaky fast. I don't know if he's that dude, but Boutte, I think, is going to have a chance to make some noise as a true freshman because he's just really, really good. So it's going to be fun to see him as he develops.
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you again on this one. He looks fantastic. Besides all the wide receiver traits that we like, he returns kicks and punts, so he's got that capability, which is going to lead to good things at the college level. You know, he's probably going to be a good yards after catch guy, which I love. Guys that can just make things happen out of nowhere. So, yeah, this guy is awesome. We're going to talk about a few other guys that I think are all in that same tier with these first two. And one of the next ones is mine, Jackson Smith-Njigba, again from The Ohio State University, 5-star, 15th overall. Every podcast, there's a guy that I fall in love with, and this is mine for this one. Man, is this guy awesome to watch. 6'1", 188 out of Rockwall, Texas. Rockwall, Texas, excuse me. He has phenomenally good hands. Just made several one-handed catches. Pretty sure they weren't just all the replay of the same catch. But this guy, just everything thrown to him, he caught. It was amazing, and he made it look easy. He's got good speed. He will get deep on guys. He can beat them deep, maybe not quite as fast as some of the other guys we're talking about, but he's got good enough speed. He will adjust to the ball, you know, no matter where it's thrown. He goes up high for it, can get yards after the catch. He's got a little bit of shift to him to help him make those yards, which I like, and make guys miss. And I really liked his awareness. He just always seemed to know, you know, where the sidelines were, where he was on the field, made good decisions. I'm a huge fan of Smith-Njigba. It's a crowded wide receiver room there in Ohio State. You know, we talk about other schools that have had an embarrassment of riches at a position, and Ohio State is definitely one of them at wide receiver. But, you know, Shaq, what do you think about Smith-Njigba, and you know, where do you put him on your rankings of guys?
I mean, it is a great compliment if I say that a guy has some Scott Farkas in his game. Right, if he's like, remember the bully from A Christmas Story? He plays like a bully, man. Right, like he plays like a dude you are gonna be afraid of walking down the alley if you gotta face this dude, because he's got some bully in his game the way he plays. I mean, 6'1", 188. He plays bigger than that. I feel like, you know, he plays thicker than 188 to me. He's a badass dude, and I think he's gonna come in and do some amazing things. He plays in 6A high school football in Texas. That's their biggest, to my understanding, that is their biggest classification. He had 5,400 yards in his career and 65 touchdowns. I mean, he had some record-breaking numbers that he put up against really strong elite competition in Texas. Doesn't get much tougher. And he was out there smashing and bulldozing dudes. And I think he's going to do the same in the Big Ten for Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, Skip, that just the embarrassment of riches that Ohio State receivers has had. And that doesn't stop this year. I mean, they've got some players coming in, three separate guys coming in, one we're going to talk about later. That, I mean, this team's wide receiver core is going to look nice by the time it's all said and done. And, you know, Jackson Smith-Njigba, I like a whole lot. He's one of the more underrated guys that doesn't get as enough talk about it as I think he should. And I know it's crazy to say that a 5-star, 15 overall guy is underrated. But, I mean, when you look at Julian Fleming, he's the one that's getting all the talk. And from at least my opinion, Smith and Jigba should be getting the same amount of talk that Fleming is, if not a little more. Because when you look at his film, I mean, he's on film, outside of the traits that obviously set Julian Fleming apart from a lot of these other guys, Jackson Smith and Jigba look like the better receiver at times. And I might be wrong by the time it's all said and done, but I really like what I saw of this kid.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And there are, you know, analysts out there that I've listened to that the third kid we're going to talk about going to Ohio State, they like just as much, if not more. So it really is crazy. All right, the fourth one, talking about loves, and I know this one is yours, Matt. Demond Demus, Texas A&M. Tell us about your infatuation with this absolute monster of a human being. This guy is a stud.
So for all of those people that follow me on Twitter and have seen my activity in Twitter over the last few months, I have been all over Demond Demus for the better part of this whole scouting process. If there was one guy that I could put my stamp on as the guy that says this is the guy that I would want to own in every single league, it's Demond Demus. I mean, this kid is phenomenal. I mean, he's when you look at him, he's 6'3", 182, so he's already got that solid frame that you'd like to see. He could stand to put on a few more pounds, but once he gets into a college strength and conditioning program, I don't think he's going to have a problem doing that. I'm just going to read off, guys, some of his testing numbers at the opening, okay? You guys ready for this? 4.43 speed, verified. He's got a 409 shuttle, 41-inch vertical. He's got near 24-foot broad jump. When you look at the world record, just in case you're curious, for a long jump, when you look at the world record for a long jump, it's 29 feet. Demond Demus recorded one at near 24 feet. So when you look at just the sheer athleticism this kid has, Demus is off the charts, right? He's a long strider. He gets down the field in an absolute hurry. He's got the solid frame that he needs to be a red zone threat. When you look at it, when the ball snapped, guys, this kid explodes off the line. I mean, he's uber athletic. I mean, athletic doesn't even cover what Demus is. I mean, he can absolutely go up and get the ball on contested throws. He uses that 41-inch vertical to be a monster in the red zone and be a monster coming down with his contested catches. 50-50 balls, in my opinion, are more like 70-30 when they're thrown in Demus' direction. I mean, if there's a 50-50 ball, more than likely Demus is coming down with it. I really like also, too, how well he sinks his hips in the mid-route to look crisp in route. He could stand, in my opinion, to be a bit more twitchy, but he still manages to get open consistently, so that's not something I'm terribly worried about. For me, if there's a guy that you know has to have a trait to set him apart from everybody else we're talking about, for Demus, it's his athleticism. I mean, there's never going to be a time where he's not the most explosive athlete on the field at any given time. And I think Texas A&M is going to use this really well. I mean, if there's a guy, you said, Skip, the one guy that you always come away loving was Jackson Smith and Jigba. Throughout this entire process for me, Demond Demus is my guy. I mean, you guys have seen it. It's all over Twitter. I mean, there's nothing else I can say about this kid. I absolutely freaking love Demond Demus, and I will until the day I die.
Shaq, how about you? What do you think of Demus?
Yeah, I absolutely think he's an amazing prospect. For me, I have him as my number one guy as like a fantasy football prospect. I want Demus, even over Fleming. I would draft Demus ahead of him. In real life football, Fleming is a totally understandable number one guy in the rankings. But for fantasy purposes, I would take Demus as that long-term fantasy freak of a monster kind of a player. I think we got to mention that sort of elephant in the room for him is he is ranked this highly as a prospect, and he hasn't played football in like over a year, really, right? Like he didn't play a senior year of high school football because Texas rendered him ineligible after his transfer. And they said, oh, no, that wasn't, his former coaches didn't sign off on it. And it was just a whole mess of a controversy. But he couldn't play his senior season. So he basically just got like a scrimmage for his senior season. And then when they started the season, he couldn't play. I didn't play the whole season. And then, he was still in the Polynesian Bowl. He went down there and tore it up. So he didn't lose a whole lot. The kid's an absolute freak. and he is going to smash. He was going to play from day one at Texas A&M, and he's going to make a lot of sports and a highlight reels. That I am very confident in. What do you think, Skip?
Yeah, I love him too. I would love to know when that weight was taken at 182, because when I look at this kid, he does not look like he's that light. He looks bigger to me. He looks like he's more like 202, if not even bigger. I mean, I can't wait to see this kid fill out, because I think he's just going to be one of those guys that it's almost impossible to stop physically. And if he can, you know, mature his other wide receiver skills, you know, like Matt was talking about, you know, a little more twitchy, I think the absolute sky's the limit for this kid. He is going to be so good. There's a reason why he's up there. And I think your love, Matt, is well placed for Damon Demas.
And I just want to hit on it too before we go. I mean, Shaq, you hit on it. I think we just need to say it again. I mean, I don't think our listeners know how good you have to be of an athlete and of a wide receiver or a prospect to not play an entire season and still be a five-star recruit. I mean, it's really freaking good. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. So, yeah, everything you guys have said, I mean, I love this kid.
Yeah, that is insane. All right. Shaq gets to talk about another wide receiver from, surprisingly, the Ohio State University, G. Scott Jr. Tell us about Mr. Scott, Shaq. What do you think about him?
Yeah, G. Scott, he's 6'3", 207, coming out of Washington. At the opening, his 40 time was 4.6 flat, so not quite as much of a burner as the other guys, but still ample fast. Remember, like, what was Justin Jefferson coming out of high school? Like a 4.8 or something like that, right? So, like, guys get faster. Guys learn how to test better and stuff like that. So, he's still got plenty of speed. He's 38.9 was his vert, so damn near 39-inch vert right there. The comp from 24/7 was N'Keal Harry. I don't think that's a bad comp, right? When you watch his film, I think you can see it a bit. 76 grabs as a senior. 1,453 yards and 15 scores. He's definitely underrated. He's the least heralded of that big three recruits for them, behind Julian Fleming and JSN. Understandably so. I'm going to go ahead and definitely say he's third. Like you alluded to, Skip, some very well-respected guys that I have a ton of respect for as analysts think that that G. Scott could be the best of the bunch. Like, I think Shane Hallam, I think, was the guy who said that he thinks that that G. Scott, if I have that correct, if I remember that correctly, I think it was Shane who said he thinks that G. Scott could be the best of the three coming in here. G. Scott, he's really physical with the ball in his hand, so you love seeing that. Like he has that ball in his hand. He's going to punish dudes. He's going to be the hammer. He's not going to be the nail. He's going to punish dudes who come in to tackle him. He's not. I don't find him to be super twitchy, but he is sneaky sound as an athlete. Like, he's got some nice skills to be able to, you know, that a really good burst to sell the vertical route, and then an excellent throttle down at the sticks, running that hitch when you got to run that chains route. His moves don't always pop, but they work. So I think as he gets more polished, as he gets more sophisticated, he'll smooth out. He's gonna get better and better. I mean, he's already able to beat the press though, and so I think he's going to come along. It won't shock me if he becomes sort of like the Devontae Smith of this crew, where like he may not be like the most heralded, but he still ends up as like a first round pick kind of guy, right? I think there's every reason to believe that this trio could be like Alabama had 3 or 4 years ago now with Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and Devontae Smith. As that sort of a trio of recruits coming in at the same time, I think that's what Ohio State has in these guys. And I think they're gonna make Buckeye fans very happy. And Skip, I'm sorry to say, it's not going to be as fun for the Gophers maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, that'll Buckeyes be a struggle.
Looking good. They're looking good.
Yeah, and Ohio State definitely has the offense to support, you know, three weapons like that. I mean, they can definitely develop all of them. I think that's a great comparison to make there. Matt, what do you think about G. Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I like G. Scott. I like how Shaq, you hit on his physicality. I mean, that was the first thing I noticed. I mean, this kid can lay the hammer when he needs to, and he's not twitchy, but I mean, he's just a good wide receiver. I mean, I can see why a lot of analysts that we all respect have him so highly rated. I mean, I get it. I get he's a great wide receiver. The one thing that I guess concerns me a little bit is just how loaded this wide receiver roster is. Because, I mean, you look at it, you know Fleming's going to get touches, and you know Smith and Jigma's going to get touches. And for me, Garrett Wilson was one guy that I had ready to poise to break out this year. I like Garrett Wilson a whole lot. So, I mean, can this offense is going to be good, and Justin Fields is going to spread the ball around a whole lot, but can it, you know, can it support four wide receivers? That's just not something I see right away. For me, G. Scott might be someone that you have to take a grab him and sit on him for a year before he really does anything for your roster.
Yeah, and they've got Chris Olave as well, or however you pronounce that. But I mean, that's another returning player that obviously is a good player as well. So it's just a ridiculous room that they've got there. All right, the next guy is Jalen McMillan. He is going to Washington, not from Washington like Scott. He's a 4-star, 38th overall, 6'2", 182 pounds out of Fresno, California. Had 89 catches for 1,644 yards and 12 touchdowns his senior year. Got decent speed. He looks pretty quick coming out of breaks. He can get by defensive backs from time to time, but I'm not sure that that's going to be how he's going to be used primarily. I don't think that's his best way to beat his defenders. He does go up really nicely for contested catches. He has good hands, from what I could tell. Runs a wide variety of routes, and he looks good doing it. That is the one thing I picked out about McMillan, is that he just feels like he's going to be a complete wide receiver that's going to be targeted heavily, and it's going to be all over the field. He's not going to make, you know, a ton of the big plays like a Tamorian Terry that we all love, but he is going to be, you know, the guy that, okay, he's catching, you know, I can even see his freshman year, he's going to have, you know, he could have a pretty good statistical line and then, you know, breaking out to a 90 catch guy in college. Cause that's just the type of player I think he is. I think he's going to be a reliable target for quarterbacks. Matt, what do you think about McMillan? Any observations did you see?
I mean, I saw all the same things you did. You know, when you're looking at guys, you know, we talked about it, not all guys are going to hit. So you're looking for those traits that can set these guys apart. And for me, McMillan might be one of the best pure route runners that I saw out of the guys that I scouted. I really like the way he got in and out of his breaks. I like the way he ran routes. I mean, you said it perfectly when he could be a complete wide receiver coming in day one to camps and to football. I mean, he's somebody that I like a whole lot just in that aspect. I mean, if you want a guy that's just going to be a great wide receiver and that's going to, especially in PPR leagues, get you those huge PPR points, Jalen McMillan is your guy, because I can see him having a great statistical season early on and just developing into a guy that just catches balls all day.
Yeah, I really like Jalen McMillan a lot. I took him, I forget which draft it is at this point. We've got three of them going right now, but I took him recently and was stoked to get him, because I find him to be really sudden the way that he jumps out of breaks and jumps out of just moves, out of feints, out of fakes. I think his moves really pop. And to me, I think the way you put it, Skip, that you think he's, you know, is a complete wide receiver who's going to have a high number of catches there. I really agree with that. I think he comes in as a guy who's going to be able to rack up stats. And I see him just on film. You just see all the traits like you talk about. We see traits there that, to me, he looks like he is a legit NFL prospect. So I like Jalen McMillan a lot. I know the Husky fans are excited to get him on campus and get him fired up to catch some passes and stop for them. I think he's going to be a stop pretty fast.
All right. We're going to go on to guy number 7 on the list. This one is back to you, Shaq. Arian Smith going to Georgia. Tell us about Arian Smith.
All right, Arian Smith, 6'1", 170, Lakeland, Florida is his listing. He was a confusing evaluation, frankly. You know, he get his comp from 24/7 Sports was DJ Moore. Generally, I've been telling you consistently, I see it. When they give those comps, I don't see it. I do not see that. with Arian Smith. But it could happen down the line. You know, first of all, he would need to gain weight. He's only 170. But the one thing he has is insane speed. Okay, he's a state champ in the 200. He was a runner-up in the 100, 10.39 in the 100. So it crazy delicious speed, absolutely. So, yeah, that's what he has, okay? He was a really tricky eval because his film, his easiest film to find for me was his junior film. And his junior film was at a smaller school. And it just looked it in every way. Like the film was bad, the football was, I don't want to say bad, but yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't sophisticated. It wasn't sharp and polished. Okay, and so you were looking, and you're like, how is this a top 10 receiver prospect? Well, it turned out he transferred to Lakeland as a senior, and then you watch his senior film, and it's just like a whole new world, right? It's like going from VHS to Blu-ray. It's absolutely a whole different level of competition. I still think he's coming in raw, right? Like, I mean, he's a top 10 recruit, and he still didn't have 1,000 yards receiving as a senior. Like, that's kind of like you would almost expect it from all the stats that we're rattling off. Like, he had 73 grabs, 830 yards, and 11 scores as a senior, but he was sort of a gadgety player even for Lakeland last year. That even they were running him on a bunch of reverses and things like that. I think that's going to be his initial role at Georgia. I think they basically recruited another Mecole Hardman, right? Like, they're going to use him as a gadget player on their way to developing him into a more complete, credible wide receiver prospect. So that's what I see in Arian Smith. Speed is there. You can't teach that kind of speed, so he's got that. But it's all the other stuff that we'll see about down the line. What do you think, guys?
I mean, I second that too. He's got this crazy speed that just allows him to absolutely get downfield and beat safeties over the top. I mean, he's a guy that can open up an offense and take the top off of a defense, but for me, that's about the extent of what I saw in his film. I drafted him in our own in the league that we're all in together, that CDC league that we're all in together doing our rookie draft now, and he's one that's confusing me as well. I liked his speed. I like some of the things that I saw on tape, but for me, he looks like that guy that is just going to be used to trick a defense. And when I say that, I mean used as the guy that they just send downfield to take the top off the defense while they do all their underneath stuff. And that's why he's a little confusing to me. I can see where the talent's there, but there's a whole lot more that I need to see from him before I'm ready to put my stamp on him and say, hey, draft Arian Smith. I don't know. That's just me.
No, I think we're all aligned on this one as well. I caught that, you know, he's just a great all-around athlete. I mean, it felt like he was playing every position on the field at times. I mean, wide receiver, quarterback, he's running the ball. He played defense, punt returner. So the athleticism is there for sure, and that's probably why he's getting that high ranking. But yeah, I made notes. This kid's going to have to work on his route running, and that's going to be a big thing. So I think that's a spot on observation that he's very raw, and they're going to have to let him develop. All right, the next one, Matt, is yours. We've got Gary Bryant Jr. going to USC. What do you think about Gary Bryant?
So Gary Bryant Jr. is a guy that, just flat out, I'm going to say it right here and now, I both like him as a prospect and I dislike him for totally opposite reasons, right? When you look at Gary Bryant, he's 5'10", 164. So already you need to see him put on a substantial amount of weight before he's somebody that I trust to be a guy that can withstand the college and NFL hits. So he needs to add some weight, but he shouldn't have a problem doing this. He added 12 pounds just last year during his senior season. He's somebody that can hopefully put on some weight once we get into the strength and conditioning program. He's got verified 4.46 speed. He's explosive down the field. We talked about how Arian Smith is crazy fast. Gary Bryant Jr. is just as fast down the field. I mean, he's got some verified speed to him. He's explosive. He can go up and high point the ball, I guess, for as well as you can high point the ball at 5'10". He can go up and get the ball when he needs to, so he's got some lower body explosion to him. I was surprised, guys, how many 50-50 balls that I saw him come down with. You know, when you look at somebody that's 5'10", 164, you don't really think that he'd be somebody that would come down with some jump balls. But I was surprised at how many he came down with when I was sitting there watching him. He's smooth in and out of his breaks. And one thing that I noted is he knows how to use his body to set up defensive backs and beat them to the spot out of breaks. He knows how to give them a head fake and to throw them off so he beats them to their spot. So that's something that is wise among the years coming in as young as he is. So that's something I really liked out of him. He looks like a defined route runner already. So for me, he's got a bunch of things that you like about him. But for me, the weight's an issue. And when you look at him, he's on the USC Trojans roster. I mean, when you talk about Ohio State has an embarrassment of riches of wide receivers, USC is just the same thing. I mean, he's competing with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who we all love. He's competing with Tyler Vaughns and Shaq. He's competing with your boy Drake London, who we all anticipate to have a monster season this year. So, and that's just guys who have already secured their roster. He's also got Brew McCoy, who is my guy that you guys have seen, who I anticipate to have a massive rise in stock this year after the Kyle Ford injury. So, I mean, this team is loaded at the wide receiver position. Gary Bryant's got some skills, and he's got some things that I like that he does well, but I just don't see him making an early impact year one. He's going to be the guy that you have to wait on, but what do you guys think?
You know, it's interesting you talk about, you called out his good route running. That was the one time when I thought we're seeing something different, or maybe I'm not seeing enough, but I felt like to me he needed to run a different variety of routes. I do like his speed, but you know, maybe I'm not watching enough of the film on this kid, but I do like his ability to get yards after the catch as well. And I thought he made a lot of tough catches, and looks like he has really good hands. So that was the only thing that I thought I saw differently on Bryant. Thoughts on the differences there, Shaq? What did you see? Break the tie?
I'm gonna actually skew closer to Matt on this one, Skip. I did like him a lot as a prospect, more than I thought I would, to be honest with you, because I was a little worried about the dimensions on the weight there, not super tall. So, you know, all right, impress me, kid. And he did, man. He did with Brian and the next guy, Burton. I really had a very similar take for both of them. Those two guys in particular, I felt like was super poised, very comfortable with the bullets flying around him, so to speak, right? Like, very comfortable in the storm. Like, able to have bodies flying all around, settle down in a zone coverage in the spot, be able to corral that ball and have four bodies come at you from four different directions and still just have no problem getting straight up field and getting those extra yards. I really like Gary Bryant as a prospect in that way. Could he be a sharper route runner? Sure, but I don't think he needs to come in year one like you guys are saying. Also, I agree, he's not gonna be a guy who is needed year one, and I think that's actually good for him to not be needed in year one. I think he'll be able to come in. I like him in the Tyler Vaughns role. Tyler Vaughns is out of here after next year, and I really like him in that role. I think he's a natural fit to come in and be the guy filling that role in 2021.
All right, so back to the film room for me, I think, on that one. I gotta lean towards you guys and say I'll see what I can look at, and maybe I'll pick something out that I missed the first time. I love it. All right, the next guy we mentioned, Jermaine Burton. Another one going to Georgia. He's a four-star, 58th overall, 6 feet, 190 pounds out of Calabasas, California. This kid looks very aggressive going after the ball. He is not afraid to go up and get it and will compete against the defender for those 50-50 balls. I really like that in wide receivers. Helps out the quarterback, of course, a lot. He does appear to have pretty decent speed, but I didn't see anything that I thought was game-breaking. Not gonna win deep often, from what I could tell. And he definitely can be shifty after the catch, but not super dynamic, you know, by any stretch of the imagination there. So I think he's a good prospect overall, but you know, definitely, you know, I feel like these last five guys we're talking about are on a lower tier level than the first five.
Definitely.
Where do you guys feel, you know, Matt specifically, what do you feel about Burton? What do you see out of this kid?
Burton was one, guys, that really surprised me about how much I liked him, right? So when you look at it, there's some other wide receivers that Georgia's bringing in that a lot of people are hyping up more than they're hyping up Jermaine Burton. And for me, Burton might be the one that I like probably the most out of all of them. One of the things that I really like, Skip, that I feel like needs to be hit on is how well he understands how to read a defense. And by that, I mean, when you're looking at him, he runs routes in a way that he knows where the zone is, where those safeties are going to be setting up, and he knows how to beat them to a spot and to beat the zone. And that was something that really surprised me about how somebody of his age can be that sophisticated and knowing how a defense is supposed to operate and knowing where he needs to be to beat that defense. So that was something that was really surprising. I liked a whole lot that I feel like Jermaine Burton doesn't get enough credit as he probably should. But what do you think, Shaq?
Yeah, I mean, that's a similar observation I think that I was having there. It's speaking like, being comfortable in the storm. Like he was the one who was running like the double slant routes. There was a lot of times he was running those double slants and he was on the outside, yeah. And he just was able to show the patience and a sophisticated understanding of how the defense is working, where that soft spot is, settle into it, know that you're going to take a hit because guys are going to close on you, and he's fine with that. So I think he's definitely a different tier than the guys we talked about earlier. There's no doubt about it. Even though he's a lower rank in theory than Arian Smith, I if I was going to pick between the two, I might go ahead and take Burton personally because I think he's got a higher floor. I think Arian Smith is the higher ceiling of those two guys, clearly with that world-class speed. But I think Burton has a higher floor. And so, I don't know, maybe I'd gamble on the ceiling, but, yeah, I like Burton. I was surprised how much I did like him. I also agree, Skip, there's no like trait. If I'm sort of summarizing your take correctly here, correct me if I'm wrong. I agree that there's not like a trait that stands out that you're like, whoa, that's it. You know what I mean? Like he's a different, there is a tier break for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, our last guy, the lucky winner of the fourth wide receiver to review as far as us individually, because we have to do numbers divided by 10. Xavier, I love how he spells that, by the way, with the XZ. That's a cool spelling, Xavier.
It is.
Xavier Henderson, going to Florida. Shaq, you get the 10th guy. Tell us about this kid.
Xavier Henderson, 6'4", 180, coming out of Miami at the opening, so he's a verified 4.55 and a 40, which is very impressive speed. For a guy who's 6'4" tall, you got to like that. 4.55 and a 40, 4.3 shuttle and a 37.2-inch vert. 24/7 comp for him was Stephen Hill, which is scary. But it is important to remember that Stephen Hill was supposed to be awesome. He just wasn't. he's the brother. Xavier is the brother of CJ Henderson. Florida cornerback who just went 9th overall to the Jaguars in April. One of the things for Henderson that really impressed me, that he uses his reach advantage, and I'm sort of trying to use a boxing analogy there, right? Like I do enjoy watching boxing, right? You get a tall guy fighting a short guy. You don't want him to get on the inside. You want him to stay at a distance so that he can use that jab where the shorter guy can't get in on him, right? And so he does. He understands how to use his reach. He plays tall, as he should. He's 6'4". He still goes up and gets it. My ball mentality, go meet the ball at its highest point and attack that sucker in the air. That's what he does. I love the way he plays. He plays aggressive like that. I think he has impressive agility for his size. He's a bit of a long strider when he gets going, but his top end speed is very good. It's plenty ample. So I like his game. I think he's in the second tier, but I think he's someone that Gator fans can be plenty excited about. I mean, he's able to beat press. I think his route tree coming into the college game is definitely where it's going to require development. Right, he doesn't have a sophisticated route tree. He's one of those dudes. You know, you just think of backyard football, and it's like, you know, hey Xavier, go long, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'll just chuck it up to you, right? Because that's kind of what he was able to do in high school. He just, as a guy that go long or run a hitch, you know, make people think you're going long and then just stop running. Like that, like those are like his primary two routes. And when he did, here's the good news though. When he did like run a simple dig route, it popped visually on screen because he's able to do it and he's got some nice skills. So I think when he's asked to do more, I think he's going to be able to do more. He's an interesting prospect. What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, I like Xavier Henderson a lot. He's definitely a tier two for me, as you said. But for me, I like one of the things that I like most about him is how twitchy he looked on film. You know, you mentioned how well he looks when he runs those dig routes. I think one of the best routes that I saw him run was an out route where he got out of his break so cleanly he created at least a 2 or 3 yard separation between him and the defensive back. I mean, he's a twitchy guy that can get out of his breaks really, really well. And he's somebody that I didn't think I was going to like all that much. I mean, I watched him a little bit of his film from some of his upper competition games, but he's one guy that I liked a whole lot just for at least his twitchiness, if not anything else. I mean, I liked what I saw in film. He's a tier two guy for me, but I like what I saw.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by his height and those long strides you talked about that covers ground and it covers it in a hurry. I mean, those are the things that I picked out. He's going to win those 50-50 balls. I mean, everything you guys said. So I think we're all definitely aligned on this one as well. So that is it, everyone, for our top 10 wide receivers. Of course, we did mention the couple of guys that didn't make it. So, you know, it's just got to cut it off somewhere. Our next show is going to be quarterbacks. So we'll move on to the next position there. Guys, what are your final thoughts? Where can we find you in your work, Matt?
Man, I'm always happy to interact with anybody on Twitter. You guys can find me at @DHH_Matt. I'm in the process of right now putting out some different breakdowns of under the radar guys. I know Skip and Shaq, you've probably seen some of those on Twitter, but I'm in the process of every once in a while I hop on Twitter, react to film, and just put out some of my thoughts on how I like guys and who I anticipate have a massive jump in production. So always down to have interaction with you guys on that. I'll be putting out shortly after this episode a top 10 wide receiver rankings like I did just for the running backs. So follow me on Twitter, and yeah, I hope we have football this year. I'm going to be more optimistic than Shaq was at the beginning of the show, but that's a cautiously optimistic, I guess.
I hope so, man. I hope you're right, man.
All right, Shaq, how about your final thoughts and where people can find you?
Yeah, I hope we have football. You can always hit me up on Twitter @DynastyTools. My rankings are at DynastyHappyHour.com. Also enjoy working and contributing over with the Debbie guys over at the Dynasty Nerds.
All right, my name is Skip Newton. I'm @SkipNewton31 on Twitter, which is on your computer, on the internet. I cover the ACC now for the Dynasty Draft Room, so I got a couple articles out there already, and I'll be spinning up another one in the next week or so. But also going to continue, of course, to do this podcast and do my rankings on DynastyHappyHour.com. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate it. Of course, you can reach out to any one of us at any time, and we'd love to interact with you and answer any questions that you have, or if you have any trades you want us to review, we'd love to do that as well. So thanks again, everyone. Take care, and be a good human.